with you, if you want to turn, please, to Matthew chapter 25. Let me just pray before we begin. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask, Lord, please, that your word would do its work, Almighty God. That tonight, Father, you would speak to us all, Lord God, through this living and active word. That, Lord, we would hear what your Spirit is saying to us. But, Lord, not just hear, but we would take heed. Lord, help us, please, in Jesus' name, to know, Lord God, that your word is true and that what your word says about the return of Jesus is true. Lord, we ask, please, for the grace, Lord God, that we need to make ourselves ready for this reality. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you see what that is, Keith? Loose connection somewhere, I think it's... Okay, I'll continue on anyway. Welcome this evening again. We're continuing in our series, The Return of the Man Who Never Came Back. And a lot of the context of what we have been saying is Jesus is, most of the time from the passages we've been looking at, he has been sitting on the Mount of Olives speaking to his disciples about future events. And he has told about the destruction of Jerusalem and warned about other terrible occurrences prior to his return. And in the passage that I'm going to read tonight, Jesus again uses a parable. He often speaks in parables, and he uses, if you want to say, earthly stories to present heavenly truth. Or other people say it's actually heavenly stories to present earthly truths, but you can look at it whatever way you like. But he uses parables to give insight into many things. And tonight's passage, he is giving insight into the day of judgment. So in Matthew chapter 25, I'm going straight into it tonight because it's quite a long passage. Matthew 25, and I'm reading from verse 31. And Jesus speaking says this: "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or when did we give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me.' Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' And then they will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you?' And then he will answer them, saying, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." I apologize here for the bit of noise on the microphone this evening. Yeah. I'll just try it again here and see. Has it disappeared yet? Has it? Well, I'll probably come back. No, me. Anyway, what do you read in that statement there? And the first thing that you read about from that passage, what is the very first thing that you come across in that passage which Jesus is saying? Is this: when the Son of Man returns. When the Son of Man comes in all of His glory. And that is how Jesus begins this parable, with these words: when, not if. There is no question. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is not a liar. And He is making it perfectly clear that He is going to be coming back. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. And He calls Himself here, or He is called the Son of Man, simply because it means He is of like nature to us, but without sin. Jesus is God who became a man to die and pay the price for mankind's sin. And once again, here we have Jesus emphasizing that He is going to return to judge all mankind. No one will escape this judgment. No one will escape this judgment. All must stand before Him and give account. And as we've been saying, and as the Bible teaches, no one knows exactly when Jesus shall return. But when He does, it will be a day of judgment. Jesus takes His throne, and the judgment that is committed to Him begins. I'm going to turn this off for a second and then turn it on again to see if it doesn't make any difference. We'll just take a second to come through again. Jesus takes His throne, and the judgment committed to Him begins. Now, we're told here by the words of Jesus Himself, we're told that all the nations, that means people from every nation under heaven, will be gathered before Him and will be separated one from another. I don't know if you know anything about shepherds in Israel, but shepherds in Israel keep very much their sheep and their goats together, and then they have to, at different times, separate them. But it's very, very hard. If you can go on to Google and Google, you know, the shepherd in Israel and the sheep and his goats, it's very, very hard to distinguish between the sheep and the goats. And here, the shepherds in Israel separate their sheep from the goats. So on the day of judgment, people will be separated, sheep. Jesus is using this term, sheep on the right hand and goats on the left. Now, before we get into this, remember how King David in Psalm 23 described the Lord. He said what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In fact, Jesus is called the good shepherd who lays down His life for His sheep. And in this parable of the judgment of the nations, the sheep represent those who know Jesus as their shepherd, those who are saved from sin and its consequences through faith in Jesus. The goats, on the other hand, represent those who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and who've not received forgiveness of sins because of their refusal to believe in Him. Now remember this, that any person who is standing on the day of judgment on the side of the goats, on the left-hand side, are there because they refused to believe in Jesus. It wasn't that they didn't know. It's because they refused to believe. It's a scary, scary thought. In this parable, Jesus is clear that there will be a separation. We're told now that the king, and I don't know if you've noticed, but we've moved from the title of the Son of Man to a shepherd, and now we've got to the king. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, that is the sheep, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The sheep
are those blessed of my Father. Let me tell you something, Christian, or if you call yourself a Christian tonight, you should know that you are blessed of God. But let me tell you, if you have any doubts, you will certainly know how blessed you are on the day of judgment. The sheep, those blessed of God the Father, we're told, inherit a kingdom which has been prepared for them from before the foundation of the world. Sheep or Christians will enter into the kingdom of heaven just as God had planned. You've got to remember that the whole package of salvation has always belonged to God. It was always God's plan, and it was always God who was going to ensure that his plan came to fruition. Jesus goes on to say to the sheep on his right, and it's interesting what he says. I was hungry. Have you ever given to the homeless who are on the street and they're starving? I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, homeless, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Do you know that you could be forgiven for thinking, Jesus is saying, because the sheep fed the hungry, gave water to the thirsty, helped the stranger, clothed the naked, visited the sick and those in prison, that this was the reason why they would inherit the kingdom of God. Do you understand what I'm saying here when you hear what he says? When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I was naked, you clothed me and you visited me. When I was in prison, you came to me. You could be forgiven for thinking that Jesus is saying that this was the reason why the sheep were inheriting the kingdom of God. Well, if that's what you think, you are very, very wrong. Jesus is not suggesting that if you've done any of these good works, that you will enter heaven. No one, and let me make it perfectly clear, no one on God's earth will ever get to heaven simply by doing good works. We have to keep this going, unfortunately, because we want it for the podcast. No one will ever get to heaven simply by doing good works. Salvation is by God's grace. That means God's unmerited favor. Nothing that any Christian deserves, nothing that any person who has been saved deserves, nothing that you have done has earned salvation. As I've said here many, many times, quoting someone else, the only thing that the Christian can offer towards their salvation is the sin from which they need to be saved. Salvation is by God's grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. The good works which the sheep have done here that Jesus speaks of, they are not the cause of salvation, but they are the effects of salvation. Those who have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus do good works as a result of their salvation. And here's a scary thought for those who profess to be Christians. The Apostle James says, faith without works is dead. Hear that? Faith without works is dead. If you call yourself a Christian and are not doing good works, your faith is as useful to you as a chocolate teapot. If you call yourself a Christian and you are not doing good works, your faith is useless. It is not a faith that produces fruit, and therefore you are fooling yourself. It is a dead faith. It is dead. The sheep ask, Lord, Lord, note that they changed again from son of man and shepherd and king to Lord. Lord, when did we do these things for you? When did we feed you? When did we clothe you? When did we visit you in prison and in hospital? When did we do all of these things for you? And the king answers, when you did it for the least of one of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Isn't that incredible? When you did it to the least of one of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You see, reaching out in the name of Jesus, in the love of Jesus, to meet the needs of others, is to serve Jesus. The king then turns his attention to the goats on his left, and note that immediately they are cursed. Keith was saying this morning that all the witches in America are doing all their dancing and chanting and all their rigmarole that them idiots do to try to put curses on Donald Trump. And you just laugh to yourself. Now, don't get me wrong, I know that witchcraft can be serious, you know, but seriously full of headbands. But the reality is that these people, these who are on the left-hand side, these goats, they are cursed. Imagine that coming from the lips of Jesus. And they are immediately commanded to depart from him into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I hear all these people say, I don't mind, Tommy, if I finish up in hell. Party central. Everybody will be there. There'll be stacks of coke and we'll be partying. There'll be all types of carry-on going on there. Let me tell you, waking up, not like that. It is prepared for the devil and his angels. And if you understand something about the devil, and I don't understand too much, but I know this, there is not a modicum of goodness in the devil. So if he is in there, it is the worst possible place that you could ever possibly imagine that you could end up in. It is a terrible, terrible place. And they are told, depart into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angel. And the king, of course, he gives his reason for this terrible sentence. I was hungry and you did not give me food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you didn't take me into your home. I was naked and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not visit me. And the goats respond, well, when did we see you in need like this and did not minister to you? And the king answers, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. The goats, those who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, who've not received forgiveness of sins because of their refusal to believe in him, they could never do the good works that matter. They could never do the good works that the Lord spoke of because they did not know him. You see, all the good works that matter, all the good works that have eternal value, unbelievers do wonderful works in this world. There's no doubt about it. Unbelievers do incredible things in this world. But the good works that matter, those that are of the Lord, an unbeliever cannot do. All the good works that unbelievers do in this world, and believe me, there are many, they are worth nothing in the sight of the Lord. I was laughing again yesterday. My sister was round at the house and she was saying about a situation where someone was talking about they thought they'd become a Christian and they weren't sure. And my sister was telling me the story and she was saying it was her son, my nephew, that was speaking to her about it. And she says, well, you know, don't you be mocking. This is what she was saying to her son. Don't you be mocking. Don't you be mocking, you know, because, you know, if you don't get saved, this is coming from somebody who's not saved herself, because if you don't get saved, you'll not be getting into heaven. And she says, he says to her, but you've got it all wrong. You've got to understand something, Mum. It's a bit like knowing a nightclub owner. Because Uncle Taddy's Christian, he'll be at the door and he'll let us in. Boy, is he in for a shock. I thought that was classic. You know, it's just a bit like, you know, no, a nightclub owner. You know, Uncle Taddy's saved, so he'll be at the door to make sure we get in. Boy, I'm telling you, if he doesn't get saved, if you're listening and you know who you are, if you don't get saved, I'll not be helping you in through the door. So there are many good works that unbelievers do in this world, but they're worth nothing in the sight of the Lord. They will gain the unbeliever no favor with Jesus on the day of judgment. Unless your good works are those the Lord prepared beforehand for you to do, they are of no eternal value whatsoever. And so we read that the goats go away into everlasting punishment, while the sheep, who are now in the passage called the righteous, enter into eternal life. In this parable, Jesus makes it abundantly clear that he is going to return. The Son of Man is coming back to judge all people. No one will escape this judgment. All must stand before him and give account. In truth, the only question, I suppose, that will matter on that day will be, what did you do about Jesus? What did you do about Jesus? If you can't say that you confessed your sin, that means agree with God that you're a sinner. If you can't say that you confessed your sin before God, if you can't say that you repented of your sin and put your trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone to save you, then you cannot claim him to be your Savior. And if he is not your Savior, you cannot be saved. It's that simple. If you cannot say that you have confessed your sin before God, if you cannot say that you have repented of your sin and trusted in the Lord Jesus alone to save you, then you cannot claim him to be your Savior. And if he is not your Savior, you cannot, under any circumstances, be saved. You cannot say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Bible is clear. There is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved except Jesus. So, Christian, are you doing the good works that the Lord has prepared for you to do? Is your faith in Jesus an active faith that produces fruit? If you're not sure, it's a question you need to get sorted before God. Because if your faith in Jesus is not producing good works, then your faith is useless. Your faith is dead. Your good works, by the way, if they are the right works, sorry about this, your good works are not the cause of your salvation, but the effects of it. In the name of Jesus, Christian, and in the love of Jesus, reach out to meet the needs of others, thus serving the Lord. Reach out to the hungry and feed them, to the thirsty and give them drink, to the stranger and welcome them and bring them in, to the naked and clothe them, to the sick in hospital and those in prison, and visit them. These are the things that the Lord wants us to do. Reach out in his love, in his power, to meet the needs of others, and thus you shall be doing the good works that the Lord has prepared for you to do, and you will bear fruit to the glory of God. If you're here tonight, or if you're listening in to our podcast or via Facebook, and you're not yet a Christian, you haven't given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, well, Jesus, the Son of Man, is going to return one day, probably sooner than we all think. If you don't know him as your shepherd, if you don't know him as your king, as your Lord, then you will be among the goats which are told, depart from him into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And I urge you tonight to do what God says. Confess your sin. Repent of it. Turn around and turn away from it. And put your trust in Jesus so that you might receive forgiveness of sin and have everlasting life. Make certain that your faith in Jesus is a living faith, one that produces fruit to the glory of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, tonight we thank you for the truth that you told in this parable. First and foremost, that you are coming back, Lord Jesus, that you're going to return one day, probably sooner than we all think, and that you, Lord God, are going to separate the nations. To the right, Lord God, will be the sheep, those who trusted in you, hope in you indeed, Lord, for salvation. To the left, Lord God, the goats, those who refuse to believe. Lord, we ask, please, that for us who know you and love you, that our faith in you would be a genuine, living and active faith that produces good works, Lord, for your glory. We pray, Lord, please, that you would make our faith increase so that we can do more and more good works that you have prepared beforehand for us to walk in. Help us to reach out to the people, Lord God, that are mentioned, the hungry, the homeless, the sick, those in prison, Lord God. Those, Lord God, when it's in our power to do good, Lord, help us to do it, please, to the glory of God. But Lord, we pray for those who you know, even at this time, that unless they repent, they will be among the goats. We ask, Lord, please, that you would not let them stand among the cursed, but that you would send your Holy Spirit to convict them of the truth that you're coming back soon and they need to make themselves ready. And Lord, may they repent of their sins and put their trust in you and in you alone for salvation. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. And although, Lord God, some of it can be hard for us to understand and some hard, Lord God, to accept, it is still your word and we believe it, O God. So we believe tonight that you will return to gather your people to yourself. May you find faith in our hearts when you do so. We ask it in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.